Okay. So we just celebrated the birth of Jesus. We just witnessed something special, something magnificent. This is cause for joy, for excitement, for celebration, for thankfulness. But now what? What are you going to do with it? Where do we go from here? Have you ever experienced that Christmas letdown? You spent the whole holiday season running around like crazy from party to party and family gathering to family gathering, and all of a sudden, it's just over. You're sitting there with nothing to do. You put the Christmas decorations away, you go back to work or school like normal. It's like nothing has happened or changed. How did Christmas change or impact you? Did it? Now, I know everything looked a little different this year from most, so maybe you can't identify with this quite as well this year, but you know what I'm talking about because you've experienced it every other year. We get so caught up in what must take place before Christmas that we don't know what to do once we're through it. What is our purpose coming out of Christmas? The devotional that we as a church have been focusing on in this Christmas season is called Living Hope. Do you know why we have a living hope? Because Jesus is alive. Thousands of years ago, the people of Israel could have hope in a Messiah who is promised to come to them. And he did, as a baby. Jesus has promised to come back again, to take us home to be with him. We can have hope in a Savior who keeps his promises, a Savior who is alive and at work in our lives. A living hope is one that multiplies, that brings about new life. Think about all of the people who witnessed Jesus' birth. Angels went and told the shepherds. Shepherds came to see Jesus, and then they went and told others about him. A few days later, Simeon and Anna are at the temple, waiting to see Jesus with their own eyes. And when they do, they tell others about him excitedly. Even the pagan magi come from afar to tell a pagan king, Herod, about the Messiah as they worshiped the newly born true king. God can use anyone or any situation to help others come to know him. Throughout Jesus' ministry, there were many people who met and experienced Jesus and quickly passed it on to others. John the Baptist paved the way for Jesus' ministry by pointing people to their coming Messiah. The Samaritan woman at the well experienced the living water of Jesus, set aside her social status as an outcast, and spread the hope that she had been given. One blind man whom Jesus healed didn't just walk away seeing, but he proclaimed the praises of God and shared his experience with others. And there are countless other examples throughout Scripture of people who experienced Jesus doing something incredible, something miraculous. And they went and told others about it so that they could experience it too. Before he ascended into heaven, Jesus gave his disciples the great commission to go and make disciples. It's a commission of multiplication. His disciples were meant to multiply, to pass on what they had experienced. So, what is our role in all of this? Our purpose coming out of the Christmas celebration of Jesus' birth? We are meant to multiply hope. That great commission that Jesus gave his disciples to go and make disciples, that's commanded of us too. We are called to bear good fruit. Even our mission as Family Bible Church is to develop, serve, and reach. We've experienced it, so we pass it on. So what does it look like to multiply hope? Well, I want to give you a few thoughts here this morning. And first, it's to be a braggart. To be a braggart. Yes, I am giving you permission to brag. But listen closely. It isn't like there's a set defined amount of hope lying around and we all have to hoard it to ourselves. In Jesus, there's infinite reason for infinite hope. So we pass that hope on. We help others to see where their hope can be found. We are all witnesses of Jesus. How has he changed you? How has he made you new? Great. Are you going to keep that to yourself? Or are you going to tell others about it so that they can experience it too? If you just opened the most amazing Christmas gift, would you keep it to yourself? Or would you tell others about it? Post about it on social media. Brag about the awesome gift that you got. We aren't supposed to boast, to brag, but to boast in the Lord is a good thing. It's commanded. It's biblical. 2020 was a difficult year for all of us. Lately, I've been challenged as I look back and think about how tough of a year it was in my own life. But you know what? Even in the midst of terrible things, there is still cause for celebration. There are still positives and blessings to be remembered. I got married this year. That made it a great year. Each one of us can find God at work in this year. And if you're struggling to do even that, I encourage you to look no further than the manger of the newborn baby, King Jesus. That's an incredible reality that we just celebrated. Emmanuel, God with us. If nothing else, let that be your reason for hope. And it should be the ultimate reason for hope for every single one of us. As we move forward from Christmas and from a trying year, how are you going to choose to move forward? Are you going to move forward in fear, in despair, in skepticism? Or are you going to move forward in the confident hope that only Jesus brings? Are you going to let the birth of Jesus change you? Jesus not only came once as promised, but he's coming again just as he promised. Let the world see the hope that you have, that true, lasting, living hope. Boast in the Lord. Secondly, we want to be the light as we talk to others about hope. I love what Peter shares in his first letter, chapter 3, verse 15. He says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And do this with gentleness and respect." So how do we do these things? Well, it comes from having conversations, from being relational, from talking to other people. Ask others what brings them hope. If they have hope, how or where are they finding that hope in this time? And then thinking about for ourselves, what is the reason for the hope that you have? And are you prepared to share with others about it? If we're asking others for the reason that they have hope, we need to be ready to share with others the reason that we have hope, that we have our hope in Jesus, the living hope. I think there are a few situations that bring about more despair than pitch black darkness. Even just the littlest glimpse of light can bring a glimmer of hope. That's an image I've not been able to get out of my mind this Christmas season. Now, it of course looks a little different this year, but every year for our Christmas Eve service, we start with that one lit candle in a dark room and watch as that light spreads throughout the whole room. It's a great picture of hope. This is a dark world we live in. It is in need of the light of Jesus. Jesus called himself the light of the world in John 8:12. And he calls us the light of the world in Matthew 5:14. We are called to be that light that catches fire and spreads to others so strongly that they can't help but be a part of it. We spread that hope of Jesus by being a light. Finally, we want to be stewards. Be a steward and put hope into action. We want to be good stewards of the hope that we've been given. What are you going to do with that hope? Will you keep it to yourself, bury it in the ground? Makes me think of the parable of the talents. Or will you invest it and share it so that you can multiply it? Hope is confident expectation in what is to come. We don't hope idly, sitting by, doing nothing, and preparing in no way for what is to come. If you're not preparing, then are you really expecting whatever it is to come? No, we prepare for what is to come. A good farmer doesn't just hope for the rain to come, but he prepares his fields to receive it. Our hope in Jesus ought to move us, ought to motivate us to do something with it. We all have something we can share, something God has given us that we can steward. It's time we put hope into action and trust God to bring about the multiplication that results. I came across a story recently taking place in the 1880s in Philadelphia about a little girl named Hattie Mae. She was 6 years old and she was having a conversation with her pastor at her church about how sad it was that they had such a small church building and there weren't really much space for them to be able to minister to other boys and girls so that other kids could learn about Jesus like she had. And so she was lamenting this to the pastor, and he, of course, shared in that sadness and said, really, we just don't have the money or the ability to expand and be able to reach more kids. Well, 2 years later, Hattie Mae unexpectedly died of some health problems. And when they went into her room after she passed, they found a small pouch underneath her pillow that contained 57 cents, and it had a note. And it said that this was earmarked for the church so that they could put that towards their project of growing and expanding and being able to reach more boys and girls. Well, the pastor had a brilliant idea. He took that 57 cents, he turned it into all pennies, and he auctioned every single one of those pennies off, bringing in $250. And almost all of those pennies actually got donated back to the church. Well, he turned that $250 into pennies and auctioned that off. And long story short, several decades later, that 57 cents, that little bit of hope that Hattie Mae wanted to spread, had turned into a church with a congregation of over 5,000. A university, Temple University, with more than 80,000 students who had gone through and attended. A hospital that had seen tens of thousands of patients and brought them good health care, all because of that little bit of hope, that little bit that Hattie Mae wanted to steward. We all have hope that we've been given, that we want to spread that. We want to be good stewards of it and share it with others. Imagine what your little bit of hope could do when you entrust it to God to multiply it. As the old hymn shares, remember where that hope comes from and what it is that we have to look forward to. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Let your hope be found in Jesus as you long for the day of his return and seek to multiply that hope with all that you've got. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. God, thank you that you came to bring hope. Thank you that you are that living hope, Jesus, that not only has brought us new life, but can bring others new life as well. Lord, as we come out of this Christmas celebration, I pray that you would continue to be on our hearts and minds, Lord, that we would seek in everything we do to bring you glory and to make you known. Lord, whether it's from being a better steward of what we've been given, being a light, bragging, boasting about who you are, Lord, I pray that each one of us would move forward today, knowing that we have been called to make you known, that we are called to spread, to multiply that hope. And so, God, we entrust our hearts and our minds to you. We give you control of our lives. Lord, do with it what you will. Thank you. Thank you that we can celebrate together as a family today. Lord, you're awesome. We give you praise this day. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us here today online. We hope you all had an awesome Christmas time together as a family and that you continue to have great family time in the coming weeks. We look forward to seeing you back in person and online next week and hope that you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. God bless.